Be careful this 4th of July. Don't blow your hands off.
AM WSBC. You're listening to the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. Welcome, everybody. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all episode. Joining me, as always, is twin brother Billy.
Yeah, what's going on?
And our great, great pal, Clayton O'Brien. Hi, Clay.
How are you?
I want to thank Jack Nicholson at the top of the show there. He doesn't want anybody to blow their hands off upcoming 4th of July.
You didn't mention fun, Phil... shenanigans, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have fun tonight.
It's expected now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, we
used to be part of your kind of rapport.
Rapport? Guy's got a heck of a rapport.
Rapport, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to have some shenanigans.
Stay away from the French words, Billy.
I'd be in trouble anywhere outside the United States. I can't even ride a bike. We were talking about diving last week. I would love to see you.
Things Bill's not good at. Diving, enunciating, walking, riding bicycles.
Yeah, there's lots of things.
Walking down the street.
Everything. I can eat.
I'm
pretty good at that.
I would love to see
good
Bill.
Good at anything? Pretty good at eating.
I'd love to see Bill in like China.
It wouldn't last.
All the bikes, just like trying to get from A to B. He goes, I can't do it.
He's wobbling on the bike like crazy. Oh, this is difficult.
No, I'd probably find one of those guys in like a rickshaw and be like, how much?
He'd cause like an 8,000 bike pileup.
Bill, you're great at lots of things. You're great at shenanigans and laughing.
Yeah. I'm looking at your shirt.
I got a Mount Carmel baseball 1995 warm-up shirt on tonight.
Great season for those guys.
Yeah. I don't remember it very well, but the shirt has lasted.
So that would be like sophomore baseball for you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was.
It's a great shirt. My wife looked at me tonight and she goes, where'd that come from? I go, I found it in the back of my dresser, like tucked way back into a drawer. And I go, look at this.
On the back of a Caprice Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice.
This week we opened up with Jack Nicholson. Kind of doing a little bit at the top there.
Yeah.
Thank him again.
Yeah, no problem.
But last week... we did a McDonald's jingle, followed by a very raucous fart sound, which killed you, Bill.
Yeah, it did. I have to admit, I listened to this show the other day, and I just like as soon as I heard it, because I forgot about it.
Yeah,
I was like, you gotta be kidding.
Isn't it funny how farts are never not funny? And
amazing.
You can laugh and laugh and laugh, and then it goes away, and then a couple days later, funny again.
Bill doesn't understand that part of the joy of being married is just farting at will.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, because it's like, what are you gonna do?
That's where you're talking to your wife, and you can just rip one right out loud and go anyway, and just pretend like it didn't happen.
So what school should Brendan go?
Do you?
what was that?
What school should Brendan go to next week?
Sometimes it's.
By the time we were in grammar school in eighth grade, it got so ridiculous with the flatulence that I remember.
So this is what this episode is going to be about.
Oh, by the way, flatulence. There's a word for you.
Yeah.
And it was enunciated correctly.
Thank you, Bill.
Should be a perfume.
There was flatulence, the perfume.
By Calvin Klein.
Clay, you brought that up that you thought that fart sounded like a John Goodman fart.
From last week?
From last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought to myself, what's a John Goodman fart? I guess that's it.
It's what you picture when you hear it.
And you had a business idea that we could can John Goodman's flatulence and perhaps brand it and sell it somewhere.
John Goodman's fart.
It's called Good Man Farts.
Goodman Farts.
Endorsed by John Goodman.
You'll see big semis on the expressway. Goodman Farts.
Hundreds of canisters of it.
Yeah. The ideas just keep rolling in.
See, that's the Billy's toy idea right there.
No, but what I was going to say is...
somebody's probably already done that.
You guys were talking about the enjoyment of being able to do it in the open, I guess, once you're married.
Yeah.
I just remember by the time we got to eighth grade, though, we had one friend who, when he was trying to get different noises...
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he would be letting out, but he would be popping up and down on his chair.
Yeah, so going little spurts.
Yeah.
And then there was a guy that we were friends with in high school. Then when he would, now obviously we went to an all boys school, so that was just like there was a guy ripping all day. But
The place must have reeked.
There were, it did. And there were, there were guys that would like literally just like, he would grab his hand, his like his open hands, like he was grabbing a fistful of air after he would do it, and he would throw it at you.
Oh, he was like,
some for you.
He's distributing it to, to the rest of his neighbors.
Yeah.
Now, along these lines, since we're already here, I keep seeing this commercial. I hear it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's this thing where you can get your colon test, but you have to basically go to the bathroom in a box and mail it to these people, and they do all the tests.
It's frightening.
And they send you the results.
So it's like how they do your genealogy. It's like Ancestry.com for flatulence.
It's a little more personal than that.
Not flatulence. I don't know what you would call that.
What's your health tech startup? People are going to go poop in boxes and send it to us. We're going to check
thing.
It out.
It's a thing.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be a thing.
Wow. Who would have thought?
I just lost my appetite.
Yeah. Well, someone's got...
Bill, you brought a thing up. Yes. The flatulence in 7th and 8th grade is a big thing.
You know, I think the reason it is a big
hard hitting news.
It's a big aesthetic of.
I feel like
of
when
that
we
year.
Were in when we were in grade school, we were always on the brink of like just busting out laughing. Like we were always like giddy. Like
well, because
like,
it'd be like test time. Pencils
all it took
up.
Was like a look, you
yeah,
know, or something.
No, because everybody
and it would just explode.
The room will get quiet, and it'd be a test, and all of a sudden, it'd be like.
I remember a friend of ours.
And everyone would look around and go, who did it? Where'd it come from?
A friend of ours was giving a speech, Adam Miller.
You were supposed to put, Clay, you were supposed to put your thumb on your head if you were the guy who made.
And if you didn't, your last person, what have you, got beat.
You got to call safety or you get punched in the arm.
Stalked.
You didn't call safety.
I remember people, they couldn't give speeches because they were laughing so hard that they would slap themselves in the face.
My favorite part was when the kids would be start laughing so hard that eventually the teacher would give in and start laughing too. Like that was the only way of like getting past it, because the more angry the teacher got about it, the funnier it became.
If only you could like see your teachers as who they were when you were in grade school. Like,
I know.
You were so terrified of them. You didn't see him as like Dave, some guy who's just doing this for, you know, to pay his rent.
$38K a year.
Yeah. Just wants to keep buying, you know, weed and beer.
Yeah,
my kid's sixth grade teacher. He's just doing it for weed and beer. That's it.
His heart's not in it, but we're glad
to
have him.
I remember one time a teacher from our grade school showed up as a pizza guy.
Sure.
To a party when we were in high school.
Oh. Yeah.
And he was the pizza guy. We're like, dude, you're doing this?
Yeah.
I do whatever I can.
It's hard out there. It's hard out there to make
but
a buck.
If you knew that when you were in fifth grade, you'd destroy the guy. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, I know all about you. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, right. Kids are brutal.
We were talking about Johnny Five last week and about how...
The film, Short Circuit.
Yeah, and how we were talking about how the actor, Fisher Stevens, you know, what if he had gone into the role you know, just wanting to do it as an Indian guy rather than that not being in the script. Like, if it wasn't in the script, did he go in and, you know... Just be like, I'm going to wing this and play an Indian guy. I had a very interesting experience, and it's been happening to me probably for, oh gosh, weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
People and are mistaking
no,
you for
there's
an Indian?
No, there's a gentleman. There's a gentleman.
That tan, Clay.
There's a gentleman who's he's very tan. I can't tell if he's Latino or if he could possibly be, you know, East Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's dangerous.
Well... I think he's Latino or you know, like, or maybe South American.
You would be helpless outside of this country.
Bill, you sound like a 45-year-old housewife. I think he's Latino.
The guy who came and fixed my gutters.
Can I finish the story, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
I you know, he could be from South America. Just, he's dark-skinned, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a encounter with him because he panhandles up near, like, Hollywood and Ridge.
Okay.
Up way up north in the Uptown neighborhood.
Yep.
I mean, he's always in that vicinity. You could be like at Clark in like Ridge or like Broadway. Like he's right over there all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and you know, I usually throw him a, you know, I've given him a smoke before. I've given him, you know, a quarter here or there. A
couple of Starbursts. A couple of loose Starbursts hanging out in the car.
No loose Starbursts.
A couple of Tic Tacs.
Hey, you like Skittles? Here, have these.
If I did have loose Starbursts, he'd get the pink ones. I don't like the pink ones.
Hey, Latino guy, you got teeth? You want some Skittles?
Anyways, it dawned on me because the other day he went, oh, smoking is bad for you. Terrible. Thank you very much. Have a good day. And, you know, and I went, hey, wait a minute. The last time this guy got, like, you know, 50 cents, he was like, hey, thanks a lot, man.
And he's an actor.
He must be because he does, like, a bobbing head movement, you know, like, and I went, boy, does this guy got a routine down.
And I found myself
he's
laughing.
He's got your money in his pocket.
Yeah.
So he's worth doing the something
50,
right.
It's worth the 50 cents. All right.
So what the point of the story is there's a an olive-skinned man who is masquerading as either a Latino or an Indian man based on how much money he can make off of the wave of traffic coming through that afternoon.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the only guy like that in the world, I presume, right?
No, I don't think so. You see, definitely the movie character worth, though.
You know the guys that have the Vietnam signs? Well, I have a friend who...
We made a movie about this, Clay. It's called Tapioca.
He does, but he grills them about their military record because he was in the military. So he can tell if they're lying instantly. He's like, you should be ashamed of yourself. He goes nuts.
Oh, wow.
Was that Chelsea Ross right there? Nico!
That was Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what prevents all wars and is just a wonderful treat? It won't give you flatulence. It'll give you... confidence.
Give you muscles.
Help you celebrate freedom.
Help you celebrate freedom.
That's right.
Sure. Yeah. Every morning.
Yeah.
It's
4th of July weekend.
Oatmeal.
Yeah.
McCann's Irish oatmeal,
big
particularly.
Help you with the hangover right before you're going to go blow some bottle rockets. You know what I mean?
Before you're going to go blow your hands off.
It's just you won't blow your hands off. If you eat McCann's Irish oatmeal, and you're going to have a smarter head on you. You're going to have it put together. You're not going to be... You know, sticking Roman candles out of your ears.
If you happen to blow a finger off, put it in a bowl of McCann's Irish Oatmeal and go right to the hospital.
Yeah, that might work, too.
We'll save it.
Yeah.
This show is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. The Hoolies Hoolie will return after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table... Enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Have you been worrying about your mom and dad as they get older? Wish they could sell the house and move where life's a whole lot easier? Smith Village, located in the Beverly neighborhood, is a life plan community that's backed by the strength and experience of Smith Senior Living. Smith Village offers a full continuum of care. Your folks are entering a unique and special phase of life, shifting from worrying about their to-do list to exploring all the things on their love to-do list. They're expanding their interests, learning new ways to relax, and making new discoveries. And while they're exploring their passions, Mom and Dad will appreciate the convenience of having dining, housekeeping, utilities, maintenance, social events, fitness classes, and wellness programming all covered by one monthly charge. For a limited time, take advantage of our 3-month trial stay program to experience life at Smith Village without the risk of an entrance fee. Ask about our new trial stay program by calling 773-614-6836, 773-614-6836, or visit the website at smithvillage.org. Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal. Particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Hoolies Hoolie, 1240
AM. All right, enough with the fart stuff, all right?
Yeah,
let's
no
grow
more
up a little bit.
Yeah,
I had a grown-up problem today.
What happened?
It was about 5 o'clock. I'm working,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in my car at Clinton and Lake, and I get a flat tire.
Ooh,
ooh! You know what? I thought that was gonna happen to me today.
So
you thought it was gonna happen?
I think it's gonna happen to me every day.
Yeah,
I always plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got lucky because I was near a tire place. I dropped it off. I jumped on the L and I went home.
Car troubles are—I dread them.
I for some reason I wasn't that upset because I kind of thought of it as my own fault because I had, you know, gotten every penny out of these tires.
Out of the treads?
They were like oh. NASCAR tires. They were completely bald.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a couple nails in them. You know, oh. I was pushing my luck to begin with. But it lasted like, you know, 6 months with a nail in it. So,
you know,
thanks, tires.
Thanks, tire people.
Yeah, Cassidy.
Cassidy, that's where you took it?
Yeah.
World famous Chicago iconic tire
world
joint.
World famous tire guys.
They owe us $50 for that plug.
That's right.
I went to go see my father-in-law, Cliff Jansen, and his band, The Rain.
Did they play?
Yeah.
Where?
At the Wire in Berwyn last Saturday night.
Packed house?
It was amazing. This is the best show I've seen Cliff put on, maybe since I've known him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't believe how good it was. It was him, his band. It was a power pop night, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Material Issue was the...
Oh, nice.
And Phil Angotti sat in with Material Issue and sang the Material Issue songs with the rest of the band. It's called Material Reissue.
Uh-huh.
It was radonk good.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Cliff came out in like a cherry kind of hot pink sport coat.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Milking it, like feeding off the crowd, right? The energy in the room was great.
One of the best front men around.
And man, it was awesome. He brought Angotti up to do a number with him. They did Full Moon Turn My Head Around at the end there. I might have to play some of that tonight. I might have to play a Phil Angotti song and a Cliff Jansen song tonight.
Let's do it.
Or a Material Issue song.
Nice. Yeah.
Interesting.
Bill, how was your
But
week?
I got to go backstage.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
And I've never been backstage at the Wire before in the green room. That was pretty
swanky.
Sweet. Yeah, it's interesting to watch. Like when you see a guy like Cliff have an amazing show like that, he knew he'd killed it. All
right. Right.
It's just insane. It's like it reverts right back to like when he was, you know, in his early, there's people waiting outside to talk to him. Lots of them.
Right.
But after that, we went outside and we met like a guy who played drums who was like an old fan, like an old groupie, right?
Uh-huh.
He's like, yeah, Cliff's kids. You know, he's talking to Haley, my wife Haley, and my brother-in-law Cooper was with me, and his longtime girlfriend Jess. So we're all hanging out outside and we're having a smoke and this guy starts talking to us. So we're kicking it and he starts talking about Ken Hark, who was one of the original drummers of Off-Broadway, right?
Uh-huh.
For our radio listeners out there, Off-Broadway was a power pop group from Chicago in the late 70s to mid 80s, even into the 90s. But they were very well known and kind of got overshadowed by such groups as Cheap Trick, but every bit, if not better than Cheap
uh-huh.
Trick.
Yep.
But anyway... Ken Hark, who was the drummer of Off-Broadway, at one time had been the drummer of Badfinger.
Right. One of my favorite bands.
Okay, so you'll love this, Clay. So this guy tells us a story. He's like, yeah, Kenny Hark's amazing, you know, he was in Badfinger. And I was like, yeah, it was after Pete Hay of Badfinger had died.
Okay.
Okay. And he was like, you know how that all happened, right? And I was like, what do you mean? I just thought that, like, you know. He was like, Ken Hark was a painter from the west side of Chicago. Who was really a sick drummer, right? A rock
right.
and roll drummer.
Yeah.
But wasn't exactly looking to go play with Badfinger.
Right.
And how would Badfinger have known him, you know?
Right.
They're from England.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So after Pete Hay's death, apparently, this is what this guy tells me. I don't know if there's true to it, but now it's a wormhole that I have to find out about. He tells me that after Pete Hay's death, the Chicago outfit indirectly, all right, assumed the rights to Badfinger's catalog.
Really?
Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
And as a result, they knew that Badfinger needed a new drummer. Some connected guy plucked Kenny Hark out of the West Side and was like, you're good. Here's a plane ticket. Here's a place to stay. Get on the plane. You're Badfinger's new drummer. All right? Yeah.
How did that all go down?
And so he showed up. He showed up where Badfinger lived or whatever in L.A. or where they were staying. And he was like, hey, I was sent here by these guys. I'm your new drummer. And they were like, oh, all right, I guess so. So isn't that
wow.
That's a crazy. I mean, that's a book, right?
That's a movie.
That's a movie. I mean, Kenny Hart, I've got to find out from Cliff, like, whether that story holds any substance.
How
at
did
all.
They get a
Ken
hold?
Hark has a freak show now. All right, it's a traveling circus. It's
right.
amazing.
How did they get a hold of the catalog? Was someone in severe debt or something?
Who knows how record labels worked back then? But obviously the Chicago outfit was savvy enough to look for the rights of music that were about to expire, or that the record labels weren't paying attention to properly, and then go up and snatch and grab the rights, and then dictate their careers.
Badfinger, great, great music. Huge George Harrison influence. He produced, I think, their first album. I'm not mistaken, Mike. Maybe double check that.
They
always had that terrible name of that band, but they had great tunes.
You don't like the name Badfinger?
No,
I do.
I don't.
So I mean, so the
that's a fascinating story though.
The Wire was a
it's amazing
packed house though, huh? Good
yeah.
times.
Yeah, that was like the highlight of my night was hearing that story. I mean, obviously, you know, it was. I couldn't believe how good Cliff was. That was just an amazing show.
He's something to see, man. He's like, he's jumping around. He's doing, sticking things to his forehead. He's crazy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's really awesome. Just,
I got back into the bartending groove this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, I went back to doing
body slam anybody?
Doing weddings. No, no.
Did you body slam anybody? No. What is he, Refrigerator Perry?
Did you slide anyone down the bar like an old
no,
Western?
No, it's just, you know, it always, and it brings me back because I'm like, oh, yes, here we go again. There's always certain types of people at weddings, and you forget about it because you haven't. Like, I hadn't done one probably in like 3 months.
You had a tattoo bar at a wedding in 3 months.
Yeah, right? There must have been a guy who had about. He had to have had. He would come up and he'd go, "Jake a Coke, Cuervo neat."
Aww.
I mean,
did he go like that after he ordered? He go Cuervo neat.
That's what he looked like. He
okay.
was like,
he looked like that sound.
And
what does he look like? A little bit like that. Does that help you? Little kick your imagination.
That's a great description to somebody.
Sure it is.
Yeah, he.
You're talking to a guy at the sales. It was a sales call. Listen, you're gonna love the guy across the hall from me. He's great. He looks like this. Real good guy.
Uh huh. Well, I mean, yeah, no, it's just I forgot that some people just drink like savages. Like it was him and this.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a hefty order.
Well, they came up and he's like, "Are shots included?" I'm like, "No." I'm like, "But you can order something neat." And that's always me being a smartass kind of towards them, being kind of like, you know.
What does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
It means if you're going to shoot booze, you can't order it as a shot. But you can just as easily shoot booze if you order it neat. So
what
we
does
have
ordering
rule,
it neat mean?
No ice. I'll give you an ounce and a half pour in a rocks glass with no ice.
Sure.
And you
so then
don't have to
still
look like such a.
Covered under the deal.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a cheapskate.
Yeah, and you don't have to look like such a jerk with a shot glass in your hand.
Why don't you just get a double shot of your Jack and Coke, you savage?
He was doing that too, but.
Oh, boy.
You know,
I did that once and ended up behind bars.
I finally turned to the guy at the end of the night, him and his buddy. I'm like, "You guys aren't driving, are you?"
But they
and they're like, "No." And
we're the
I'm
limo
like,
drivers.
I'm like, "Okay. All right. So that was an interesting. Remember the guy, Pat, you bartended the first hour of the wedding. Remember the guy that.
Any jerseys?
No, we had a there was
no
a,
jerseys at
there
this
was
point.
There was a deaf man who was probably in his he had to be like close to 80 with these huge Coke bottle glasses on, chugging Miller Lite.
Oh
like,
yeah, I
pounding
know,
like, them, and I was like, "Is this guy part of the? Did this like?" And he had like a polo shirt and like wrinkled khakis on.
He just wandered in off the street,
and I was like, "Did this guy just come in from outside?" Like, is
he,
like he
did,
you know?
It's a slick
no,
move.
No, we thought he did, and then our banquet captain recognized him because he was like a neighborhood local.
Yeah.
Apparently, he did know the father of like the bride or something.
So he was legit.
He was sitting at the table.
God
someone's
bless
like,
him.
"Hey, did you see so and so, Pete?" And I was like, "Who's that?" And they're like, "Did she like a crazy looking old man?
Crazy jerking, Pete?
They
roaming around?"
Like he was like a guy who would be pointing at a beer bottle. I'm like, "Oh yeah, that guy."
Yeah. I just saw him get into a Ferrari.
Crazy Pete, that
yeah.
Crazy Pete.
Oh yeah, back in the wedding groove.
It's wedding season, you know. I've been blessed in that I haven't had to go to any.
No,
and
yeah.
I don't have to for a while. So
they're coming up. It's usually, we didn't have a lot in June.
What are you guys doing for the 4th? Forget weddings. Forget people's happiness.
We talked about this last week. I'm pretty sure I'm going over to my buddy's house.
You're going to the Pollock Cicero guy's house.
But I said he lives
now. Let's keep the worst.
He lived. I think last week I told everybody he lived in Bridgeview. He lives in Broadview.
Oh.
So
everyone headed there. Go
yeah,
to Broadview
sure.
now.
Yeah. I'll give you the address.
Just follow the flames.
Yeah.
Follow the flames.
Follow the fireworks.
So is that Broad, that's Broadview. It says right there on the
follow
on
the flames
on the banner when you pull up to Broadview. Broadview, follow the flames.
It's my first solo album, actually.
I like it.
Follow the flames.
And it's a picture of you with your drumsticks on
picture
fire.
Picture of me in hell.
Wow.
It's a picture of me in hell. You wouldn't be the first guy who said that to a record executive. What do you want the cover to look like?
Yeah.
How about a picture of me in hell?
Ozzy Osbourne made billions off it.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll be going over there. Fireworks celebration.
Beautiful. Pat.
That's what it looks like for me.
Nothing yet. I'm getting ready. Charlotte's going to camp in the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
That's going to be our big little summer trip there. She's going up to Red Pine Camp in Minocqua, Wisconsin.
Beautiful.
Stay away camp. Sleepover camp.
Yeah.
Nice. What do they do, like archery and...
Yeah, all that stuff, you know.
Build teepees.
Kind of like some, you know, a little bit of... It's like meatballs. It's like Camp North Star.
I wish they had that for adults.
They do, I presume, you know.
Let's start one.
Hey, I want to start a sleepover
camp
for adults.
Anybody
want
to go to summer camp with us?
You know what? It's not a bad idea. They did a movie like that called The Wrong Guys with Richard Lewis years ago. Remember that, Bill? It was a...
Is it the Boku guy?
Yeah, Richard Lewis did some Boku commercials back in the day as well. He's also Larry David's buddy on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, he's the Boku guy.
Boku.
Let's say that to Richard Lewis next time he's at Hollywood, one of the most revered comics. Hey, you're the Boku guy, aren't you?
You know, that fruit punch, it was in a box.
You're the neurotic Boku guy.
It was basically adult juice boxes. That,
actually, he would probably...
Adult juice boxes.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it was.
He would actually probably laugh his butt off at that.
Yeah,
he
would.
Oh, Richard Boku, excuse me, you know?
Give me the keys to his house.
They're like, that's it, I'm done.
Keys to the house. Career's over, you finally caught me. Larry, they've got my number, you know. I don't even... How did we start talking about Richard Lewis?
Who cares?
We were just on to something. I completely...
Camps
was...
for adults.
Yeah, camps.
Oh, The Wrong Guys.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a Richard Lewis vehicle with Louis Anderson.
Yes, also that's in the right. Wrong Guys. I forgot. That was a funny
and
film.
And the bad guys were the Grunsky brothers. Remember them?
Man, you got a great move.
I think that would be... That's a fantastic idea.
Adult sleepover camp, summer camp for adults?
Yeah, like with cabins and like, you know, like...
And booze.
Yeah, all right.
Everyone's drinking Budweiser all day long.
But it's a full day obstacle courses and stuff, so you got to be ready to go.
Well, I think you market it to the beer companies, right? Where are you going? Going up to Budweiser camp. What's that?
Summer camp.
Summer camp with beer.
Play softball.
Yeah, we play softball. We get in fights.
Big, like, big, you know, huge dinners of hot dogs.
Big, huge dinners of, like, hot dogs and, you know, stuff. Big, real big summer table. Stuff.
Like, what Hot American Summer?
Exactly.
In real life.
Yeah, The Wrong Guys. Yeah, 1988. Louis Anderson, year. Richard Lewis, Richard Belzer.
Belzer, yeah, he was also.
Those are the only, like, those are the top three kind of actors' names I recognize.
If there only was a blockbuster video we could roll over to. And
says, the description is, Cub Scout Pack 18 organizes a 25-year reunion to relive their fond boyhood memories. Yeah.
That sounds great.
When the five friends leave for a camping trip, they discover that while they've had once known about the wilderness, survival has dwindled down to nothing over the years. To make matters worse, the two bullies who have only gotten obnoxious with age show up uninvited.
Mm-hmm.
When an escaped killer takes refuge at the campground, things really get out of control.
Oh, boy.
Believing that the men of Pack 18 are a government posse, the killer won't leave them alone. Now former scouts embark on a mission they've never had the opportunity to earn a merit badge before.
Wow.
Capture a killer. Wow, yeah. The Wrong Guys.
How many Oscars did it win?
I'm sure a lot. I'm sure it got, you know, was a nominated one.
Somebody wrote that.
That is weird. Yeah. I could see Richard Lewis doing like an Inside this Actor Studio with Lipton, you know?
Yeah.
Next, he did The Wrong Guys.
Tell me
what was that? Yeah. Hey, well, yeah, The Wrong Guys.
Let's talk about...
I got to get a Richard Lewis going. Yeah.
I got to get a James Lipton. Let's talk about Boku.
Yeah, yeah, it's an adult. It was an adult juice box.
Juice box with no straw.
An adult juice box with no straw. Took off a little bit. Made a little money.
Give me 50 grand.
I did them for free.
Wow, Boku. You know, the Zima thing is coming back. We've seen this everywhere. Zima.
I'm going to walk into a bar and go, give me a Zima and Boku.
Be like, oh, you got Zima, but no Boku? I'm leaving.
Hey, you know what I mean? Can I get a couple of vodka Bokus?
A vodka Boku? Yeah. I think we're on to something. With a little, like some fresh cranberries in there? Maybe a raspberry?
Maybe some craisins.
Craisins, yeah. Give me a vodka Boku with some craisins. Snap. You know, maybe
snap. What's that? Snap.
Hustle.
No
snap
ice.
On a snap. I don't know. No, yeah, let me get a vodka Boku neat.
Warm. Warm and neat.
I don't know. Yeah, Boku. I want it to come back now.
What about Burley? Burley Day.
Yeah, I didn't get an opportunity to watch a lot of it.
It was pretty amazing.
Mark Burley?
Yeah.
They retired, Chicago White Sox retired Mark Burley's number, yeah.
Probably the best pitcher in Sox, one of them, top three, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they had quite a going away deal.
Yeah, it was awesome. I watched it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Burley's mom and dad were there. That was pretty cool. Yeah, was like, just so homegrown, kids. Just like American folk, right?
Yep.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, you're watching your son's number get retired by a professional baseball team?
It'd be crazy.
Like, what? It's amazing, right? You're like, my kid was Mickey Mantle. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I had some buddies from work that went to the event and said it was quite the spectacle. They loved it.
I wish I would have gone.
I kind of kicking myself for not getting tickets to it too.
We'll do it next time.
Because I have yet to go to one of those
induction things.
Yeah, and they're pretty cool. Yeah. Like, I would think that like the last one they did was what, Big Frank, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, did they give Ozzy a statue yet? Yeah, I think Ozzy got a statue,
did
right?
Do Canerico?
No, not yet. I don't.
They haven't retired Canerico's number yet. I don't think. I think Canerico, I mean, it's going to be him next, right?
Gotta be Canerico.
Yeah.
We should take a commercial break. You know what? Actually, I want to play a song.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to do a little Badfinger.
Oh, really?
Come on, we got to run it by me first.
Which one do you like, Clay?
I love It's Over. It's a great song.
It's Over?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it here, then.
It's fantastic.
I can't find it.
Get into Badfinger if you haven't yet. It's a really good band.
It's a really good band.
It's a really good band.
I'm just going to play this one. We might play that one later.
We'll play that when it's over.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Doesn't matter what you do, girl, we'll go with you. No matter what you do, I will always be around.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they are service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Welcome back. Hoolies, Hoolie. We heard a little Badfinger there. It's wonderful. We were recapping. I told that story.
Good stuff.
Who knows if that's true. Even if it's not true, it's still a good script idea.
Yeah. It's probably true.
Yeah.
There's something there.
There is.
We'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Kevin Jakubowski from Fenwick? You remember him, Clay?
Like
a year ahead of us.
Yeah,
no, I didn't go to Fenwick, but he's got a new TV show out. He wrote that book, 8-Bit Christmas, a few years ago. That was pretty good. It was about this kid who gets... It was about Nintendo arriving for Christmas one year.
Nice.
Ah, kind of a modern retelling of a Christmas story, except he threw Nintendo in instead of a Red Ryder BB gun.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
It's very well done. But anyway, he's got a new show out that's getting a little bit of buzz. It's
cool.
Called Play by Play.
Okay.
It's about a kid who is in high school and kind of goes to like a Fenwick Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first year that girls arrive at the high school.
Sure.
All right. And it's like told from the perspective of a guy who is now it's the kid. He's looking back. It's like the Wonder Years, right?
Yeah.
Except that the guy is now a sportscaster for ESPN. So he does a play-by-play of his high school adolescent years.
Gotcha.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, not bad, not
sports,
bad.
It's for kids, you know?
Yeah.
I like that stuff.
Is he going to put me in it?
I don't know. I want to call him and ask him.
So there's like...
Remember me, kind of? We had a couple of beers, maybe in the Thatcher Woods, around sophomore year.
Hey, remember me from the woods?
Show up in L.A.? I know you from the woods. How's it going, buddy? Is this your agent? Can we get Richard Lewis in this movie?
So there's like so the way that you're describing it is kind of like there would be a scene where, say, like a guy gets shut down from a girl, and the play-by-play announcer would do like a Chris Berman, like back gone, you know, like that kind of play-by-play.
Bill, you're writing the show.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Bill, you've already seen it, haven't you?
It's a table read. Yeah. You're doing a table read. Right here.
Yeah. Well, I wish him the best.
Yeah. Good.
Oh. Clay, what is it? You do a lot of that because you're the best. Because I'm the best.
And then it's like a real enunciation right in the end of the T.
Enunciation is...
Why? Because I'm the best.
That's actually a Jerky Boys thing.
Yeah, it is. It's a Frank Rizzo bit.
It might be Frank. I don't know who it is.
No, he says it because he's... Yeah, I do remember that. Because
he can drive trucks.
Yeah, he goes...
I'm the best.
Because you got experience
cars. He can sell cars.
Yeah, he goes, do you have experience selling cars before?
Mm-hmm. I'm the best.
I'm the best.
I'll sell anything.
Whatever happened to those guys, the Jerky Boys?
I don't know. They made a film, too.
Yes, they did.
Who did the song? Let's mingle.
I don't know.
Take it well.
The guy who does the Frank Rizzo guy, he actually was a longtime cast member of Family Guy.
Was he really?
Yeah, he's Mort Goldman, the pharmacist.
Perfect. Yeah. Love it.
Wow.
Good hire by Family Guy.
Great hire. Well, Seth MacFarlane was huge fans of that.
We were here huge fans of the Jerky Boys.
You would get I would get the bootleg tapes of that was passed around the country
before they had a record album. Yeah, so did I, and they were amazing.
Amazing. And some of the stuff that was on there didn't make it to the stuff you find in the stores, so it's just lost forever.
No, someone's got a complete catalog of Jerky Boys.
Of the original tapes, I'm sure. Some guy in New York, these are worth $40,000 each.
Those are still, if you gave a high school, because that was at the forefront of our high school period, right? Listening to that stuff, freshman year, maybe eighth grade.
Yeah, grade school, high school.
The song that you were looking for is Gel by Collective Soul.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe we'll play that later.
That might be a few entertaining laughs.
A few entertaining laughs brought to you by Collective Soul.
Courtesy of the Houlihans.
Collective Soul, yeah.
I got to tell you something. Every time I hear your songs, I laugh so hard. That's got to be the worst compliment, right? What are you laughing at my music for?
The Jerky Boys kind of had a lot of copycats afterwards, and
they
just ruined the whole thing.
They ruined the whole genre?
Yeah.
Well, it's not exactly like they were the first guys to come up with crank phone calls, right?
But they kind of were, whereas they had they never broke character.
No.
It's not like they never said, we got you at the end. No. They just left it.
So
these guys really thought someone was going to come down there and beat them up. They were just, these panicked store owners are just waiting for this.
And this is pre-cell phones, right? So that's part of the cachet.
This is all landlines.
Yeah, right. So you couldn't even get away with that now. People wouldn't even pick up the phone if they don't recognize
the
number.
Yeah, I bet you, if your daughter.
A moment in time is what it was.
If your daughter or kids, you're like, hey, I want you to see an American classic, and gave them, when they're teenagers, threw on the Jerky Boys.
They'd be blown away.
They would not know what the. They'd be like, what?
It's an amazing comedy album, but I wonder how dated it is.
Not
right?
The album, the movie, I'm saying. A kid watching it being landlines, prank phone calls, what?
You could probably still pull it off because you're calling businesses. So businesses are kind of forced to answer the phone regardless.
Yeah, true.
Because they called obscure businesses, right? Like, you Jimmy, the piano tuning guy?
Yeah, the magician.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Which made me think that maybe this is all just a bit on the other end. Like, they're just hiring good actors.
No,
it
was good stuff. It was genius. It was what it was.
I wish I could play some of it, but it's too foul to play on the radio.
Yeah, there's no clean ones, really.
Too explicit.
Yeah.
I don't think Tipper Gore was a big fan of the Jerky Boys.
Trump probably loves them. These guys are great.
Wouldn't that be something if you just walked into the Oval Office and he's listening to an old Jerky Boys thing? Putin, you're going to love this Saul Rosenberg bit. This is real good.
This one's hilarious.
He loses his shoes. He can't find his shoes. So good.
So good.
So good.
Hire these guys.
Yeah. Hire these guys for espionage.
Hire this Rosenberg guy.
For espionage. Guy's a master of espionage.
Yeah.
Espionage.
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 Was that Johnny Five?
That was
espionage.
John.
Espionage.
That is Johnny. We forgot the name of the Johnny Five. Bill,
yes,
you had a correction to make previously before the commercial.
Yeah, Canerco's number has been retired by the Sox. I'm kind
That's
of embarrassed that I even screwed that up.
Paul Canerco.
Yeah,
he should
it was
be
last
embarrassed.
Summer.
He's mad at you.
Yeah, sorry, Paul.
Yeah.
The captain and I, yeah.
The captain and I stand. Bill Houlihan and Paul Canerco. This summer.
It's an indie
it's select
movie.
Theaters.
It's a baseball
film.
You
want a drinking splurge on the northwest side.
Yeah.
No one recognizes
them. They go
them.
To the Cayman Islands together.
They go to a Conor McGregor fight together in Las
It'd
Vegas.
Great. That's heating up.
It was me, Canerco.
It's bubbling.
Yeah. Richard Lewis, me, and Canerco.
Richard Lewis is always talking to Canerco. He's like, your swing is okay. Yeah. But, you know,
fight is too violent.
There's a little bit of a hole in your swing.
Have a boku.
Have a boku.
It'll straighten out. Bill, what'd you do last weekend? Oh, I went to the McGregor fight with Richard Lewis. Who were the other two?
Paul Canerico. Paul Canerico and Bo Jackson. Hey, Bo.
That sounds like a heck of a weekend.
Hey, Bo.
That's all you'd hear.
That's my Richard Lewis yelling Bo Jackson. Hey, Bo. Get us a couple Bo-coos.
Get us a... So, yeah, what's the update on that? It's still going down. They haven't canceled it yet.
I know. I have a buddy of mine who every morning he does... he has a thing called the McGregor Fight Camp, and it's like him blasting Irish music, doing a jig in his kitchen, like on a, you know, it'll be like on a Mayweather poster. Like
nice.
He's like stomping on it. And like,
that's a little strange.
Oh, I'm very confused.
Yeah.
People are getting, it's like a fan of McGregor over. Who like does like his own like Snapchat
ritual.
Every morning ritual that's dedicated, you know, everything every day is a hate towards Mayweather.
I was actually listening, if you don't mind, I mentioned another podcaster Bill Burr,
yeah,
who made a good point.
The Monday morning, Monday morning
podcast. It's good stuff. But he made a good point. He's like, you're taking this one guy, McGregor, who has all these skills where he can use his feet. He's like a Swiss Army knife of things he can do. But yet you're only letting him use this little tiny knife that's in like the back of the.
I would agree with that.
And it's like, you know, it's not a real thing. It's like
getting paid. He's getting his money.
You're right, because it's like his natural instinct is going to want to do everything else.
Right.
So it's going to slow down. I mean, his.
I think last week you said like, you know, is McGregor going to be able to box this guy? Can't forget that McGregor had over 50 amateur boxing fight matches in Ireland, and he was a boxing champion in Ireland.
Okay.
So he's no like stranger to it.
Yeah, we'll see.
He'd probably get knocked out in 10 minutes.
Who knows?
I've never really followed Mayweather's career until this came up. I just never paid attention to him.
Mayweather's fought some pretty impressive people.
Yeah.
He's the master of not getting hit. He's figured out a way not to get hit. And then he's so fast, he hits you. So he's the point master. He's not knocking people out like Tyson.
No, right. He's the point master.
He's the point master. Completely.
Hey, he's the point
master. He's the point master. Have a boco.
Hey, point master. We gonna leave here soon? Kind of tired.
Can you get Canerico on a car's line?
I don't know why I'm picturing...
Go get Canerico and Bo.
I'm picturing Richard Lewis in like a black raincoat for some reason.
Well, Richard Lewis always wears black.
He's in like a collar up, like trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello, with that hunchback. Yeah, like, hello, Mayweather.
And the hair.
Yeah.
Right.
I kind of think of, when I think of him, like, it's funny that he was in that movie.
The Wrong Guy?
The Wrong Guys. That, like, him and Richard Belzer have very similar...
Well, they're both from that New York comedy scene from, like, the early 80s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, the way that they walk, the kind of their mannerisms is a little bit... Belzer is a little bit more, you know...
Cartoony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Richard Lewis is more neurotic, for
I think
sure.
Belzer's in Scarface, the movie.
He's in Law and Order Special Victims Unit, I'm pretty sure.
That he is now.
And then he was on... Belzer...
He plays a stand-up comedian in Scarface.
Does he?
Yeah. It's like, real quick. And then everyone gets shot.
And then everybody gets shot.
My dad got a black shirt on. I had never seen him wear a black, like, dress shirt before. I think we were probably... Maybe like seniors in high school.
This is when he lost a lot of weight.
He lost
in high school.
A lot of weight.
He's trying to get tough with the black shirt.
Sure, he's like,
huh?
I can wear black again.
And he put on a black shirt, and we were like, what is that? And he went, this is my Richard Belzer. I'm like, what? I didn't get it. And now as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, yeah, Richard Belzer. Because he's always got, even in Law and Order, he's always got like a black dress.
Munch
shirt
is his name on the show.
Yeah.
Have you ever come across somebody that you, this happened to me this week at 1871 Chicago Center for
Tech Incubator.
Walking through the hall there. I'm friends with a woman on Facebook, all right? She's a publicist here in Chicago. Her name is Betsy Shepherd.
Okay. All right? Okay.
And she's the publicist for like Joel Murray and the Murray Brothers.
Sure.
Several guys that are on Chicago Fire, the TV show.
Fireman.
And she's always promoting events and things of that nature. And she's also, there's a kid who's been burned severely. His name is Owen Mahan. He's going through some surgeries, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a public interest story on GN about him recently and that kid and his fight. And she's big behind him, you
sure.
know, documenting his tale. And she's really, I love her posts, right? Her Facebook posts. Like, they're never political. They're always genuine, right? Kind of feel-good news stories. Or cool events that she's plugging for her candidates. So I've always been like the guy who's like, I like this, right? Uh-huh. I like a lot of her stuff on Facebook, or I'll comment, even though I've never met her before. Right.
Creepy.
It's a little bit creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very show busy, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, we're friends. We're Facebook friends. Come on.
Come on. Let me get in your limousine.
Let me get in your limousine. We're Facebook friends. Anyway, I'm walking through the hall at 1871. And I see her, right?
Uh-huh. You recognize her solely from the internet. That's a creepy feeling.
Yeah, right. I probably
you're like. Can I say anything?
I want to get her on the show. I'd love to get her on the show for an interview because uh-huh.
You can give her all this awkwardness.
Yeah. Well, I said hello to her. I go, Betsy. She turned around and looked at me and kind of caught her off guard. She goes, yes. I go, Patty Houlihan, how's it going? Facebook.
You didn't. Come on. You did not.
I did.
Come on. Come on.
I did. She goes, oh yeah, what's up?
Oh my god.
And then she was meeting with a client, and I just walked.
Patted her on the butt.
I go, rock star about her. I go, you're meeting with Betsy? I go, she's a rock star. Rock star. And then walked to the elevators and left.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Betsy, if you hear this.
I'm sorry.
Are you looking for a publicist? Is that why you're like, there's, you know, you're like.
Please promote our show, The Hoolies Hoolie. We talk about John Goodman farts, Richard Lewis.
Peter North.
Peter North has made appearances, verbal things on the show.
Bill's beard.
All kinds of weird stuff.
We do everything.
The Jerky Boys.
Yeah, you name it.
We got a swath of all kinds of stuff. You're going to love it.
You name it. We talk about Patty's emails from Indian celebrities.
Yeah, that's right.
I listened to that episode the other day, and I was laughing pretty hard. Yeah. That's a good one.
Imam Siddiq.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
He stopped bothering me.
God bless the Siddiqs this summer.
God bless the Siddiqs this summer. Summer
this
season.
Fireworks
God
season.
Bless this the fireworks this fireworks season.
Why not?
Yeah. The fireworks season's here.
Fireworks season's arrived. Yeah.
So that was it. I had you don't
well,
have.
Well, you scared the hell out of that lady. I'm sure.
I've never
did.
Done anything like that.
I wouldn't do that.
You got to do it.
Remember me from Facebook?
Yeah.
That's like I'm stalking you. Basically.
Well, all of a sudden, it
translation. I'm stalking you.
It was a Rupert Pumpkin-esque moment, right? You know.
Yeah.
If there's anyone seen The King of Comedy, it was kind of
De Niro's character.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
more of a Taxi Driver moment, if you ask me.
It's got a little Bickle in it.
What kind of guns do you guys carry? 357 mm-hmm. mangs.
Remember me? Facebook.
Secret.
How was the Cubs game last night? You have a good time.
A secret signal.
I saw that you went to Cubs game.
Secret signal for the Secret Service. That's you now.
That's you.
You should have said, Betsy, hey, Travis Bickle, how the hell are you?
When you walked,
that would have creeped right
when you walked away from her and then you went down the hallway, did all of a sudden Van Morrison's That Was a Wonderful Remark, just the music just kick into your head?
Maybe we should play that.
Like from the end of...
Does Wonderful Remark play at the end of The King of Comedy?
Yes.
Scorsese?
Yes, absolutely.
I thought it was
the last
Scorsese.
Scene.
Scorsese. That's how Short Circuit would say it. Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, it's the last scene, I believe. That Was a Wonderful Remark when Pumpkin's on stage.
I thought it was Dweller on the Threshold by Van.
I'm pretty
sure. So let's get her on the show. We could talk about her meeting with you.
I would love
that. Your guy's big meeting.
We got two options for songs then if we're talking about this for the end of the show.
Yeah.
We can either find out what's the end of the King comedy.
What about my song?
Or we could play Collective Soul.
We got three options. What's it going to be? Let's play Rock, Paper, Scissors real quick.
There's Badfinger, Collective Soul. Collective Soul's gel.
Who's going to win? Collective Soul has never won anything.
Hey, put on the Collective Soul. I'm going to Vegas.
Except the heart of James Van Ostel.
James is off tonight.
Put on Collective Soul. Me, Richard Lewis, Canerco, and Bo are going to the fight.
Hey, limo driver, put on Collective Soul so me, Bo, Richard Lewis, and Canerco can relax back here.
This is a six-pack of Bocuse, too, eh?
Get a six-pack of Bocuse. Make sure that Bo isn't late. We got to go.
Yeah.
All right, we can play. It's Wonderful Remark. You're right, Bill.
See, I knew I was right.
Go
for
it.
Yeah. Should I play it?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me pull it up.
Well, we only got about 4 minutes of show left here, so if we're going to play this song,
come on. There's a storm
We have to talk about what's going on next week.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on next week? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, it's the 4th of July.
Everyone will be nice to each other.
Enjoy yourself. Don't blow your fingers off.
Yep, have a hot dog.
Don't drink too much. Stay away from the drugs.
All right, I'll end the show with that because we only have a couple minutes left.
Yeah. This show always brought to you by Hibernian Transmedia.
The show is brought to you by Hibernian Transmedia. That's if you've enjoyed the last hour of this program, you can find archived episodes of The Hoolies Hoolie on iTunes if you search Free Crack, C-R-A-I-C, or you can visit us on our website at freecrack.com. Mm-hmm. Stick around for the crack again.
Yeah.
Following this program, that's a show with Gino and Mike, Gino Cooney and Mike Houlihan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They record that show at the Irish American Heritage Center.
Do every, they now?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, has Irish Fest coming up. So
yes, there is Irish Fest coming up.
Log on to their website. It's gonna
we'll
be,
get more into that next week.
We sure will.
Yeah.
But stick around for that. They record that show at the Irish American Heritage Center every Thursday night in front of a live audience at 6 p.m. And then stick around for the traditional Irish music sessions that follow that program.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to find a wonderful remark here. I thought I found it.
Okay. No?
I got it. Bye.
How can you stand the silence that pervades when we all cry? How can you watch the violence that erupts before your eyes? How can you tell us something just to keep us hanging on? Something that just don't mean nothing when we see it, you are gone. Clinging to some other rainbow, or standing waiting in the cold, telling us the same old story, knowing time is growing old. That was a wonderful remark. I had my eyes closed in the dark. I told a million lies to myself, to myself. Can we listen to you when we know your talk is cheap? How can we ever question why we give more and you keep? How can your empty laughter fill the room like ours of joy when you're only playing with us like a child of a good toy? How can we ever feel the freedom or the flame that fires a spark? How can we ever come out even when reality is stark? That was a wonderful remark. To myself, to myself.